Hello.
Hello.
George, how are you?
All right, Mr. President.
I'm sorry to hear about your loss.
Well, it's one of those things that happens, you know.
Well, we all have them, and yeah. I know you're a tough guy, and you can take it. George, I want to speak to you in the greatest of confidence, if I may. Can I do that?
Yep.
I don't want another human to know about this, but there's been a proposed reorganization in the Labor Department contemplated, and it was sent in to me to approve on October the 11th, and I disapproved it.
You disapproved it?
Yes. It came back October the 14th, and I disapproved it a second time.
Yeah.
It came back October the 19th, and I told them that I didn't want to debate it, that I questioned the wisdom of reorganizing any department 10 days before the election, when a new man would be elected, and I thought it'd be misunderstood, just like bracketing a lot of people in Secret Service or issuing a bunch of recess appointments or anything else. I said that the governors had voted unanimously to request us, before we carried on any reorganizations on federal state matters, to have their committee at least an opportunity to appear, that that had not been done. And over a period of several days, I'd had at least 10 or 12 governors wire us and call us, and the governor of New York and the governor of Utah, Calvin Rampton, and the governor of Colorado, and the different governors over the country. Had the head of the governor's conference. So I would just hope that they would make their recommendations to their successor. If we hadn't done it in 5 years, it looked pretty bad to do it in 5 weeks. Yesterday morning, they announced it, put it in the paper, called all the employees together, and I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either, but I happened to be calling my office yesterday morning from New York, and yesterday afternoon, rather, from New York, when I was up to the funeral, and I was told that Bill had gone ahead and put it in effect.
Yes, he did. And he called in. We had told both Reynolds and Bill this, not to do it. And Reynolds had asked to come see us. And we had told him that we would see him, but we didn't think it ought to be done, and we'd rather consult with the governors. I had issued a letter after November 66, after the congressional elections, when the governors all called on me, saying that we would consult with any committee they appointed before we took action affecting their responsibility. Then the Budget Bureau put out an order to all secretaries and all departments that to give notice so that governor's committee could be heard. They have a governor's council here. Neither one of those were carried out, and so forth. So last night, when I read it in the night reading at 9 or 10 o'clock, I called Jim Reynolds, and he said yes, he knew of our views, and he hated it, but Bill had ordered it done and had called a meeting and just told him that he was going to do it. I asked him if he understood my views, and he said yes, he thought he did. So this morning, I called Works over, and he said yes, he did understand that I didn't want it done, but that he didn't quite understand that I was that strong, and it was, as the way I interpreted it, is both ways. He could understand it, and he didn't understand it. Anyway, I said to Bill, I've made several commitments that I wouldn't do this in the last days of the administration. And I've told governors this, and I've told commissioners this, and I've told several cabinet secretaries not to do these things, so I would have to go back on my word, and the president can't do that. I don't want it implemented. Well, he said, I've already put it in effect, and I've got to keep it there. And I said, well, I want it rescinded. And he said, well, he couldn't do that. And I said, well, I'll get Jim Reynolds to do it or somebody else. And he said, well, he just couldn't do it. And he said I had his resignation. I said, well, I didn't know I had it, but if I have it, I'll accept it. And said, well, I said, if I don't, you send me one. I promptly accepted. You've worked hard at this job, and I hate to see this happen. I think it'll have an effect on the party and on us, but a president just can't have anybody, a cabinet officer, just not carrying out his wishes once he makes them clear.
Yeah.
And in any event, I've got to consult with these people before I implement it, before I put it into effect. And you've got to consult with the committees, the Congress. Well, anyway, he left and he hasn't done it. Now, what I'm going to do, and the reason I want to talk to you and only you, we've got all these protests. Of course, it's just raising hell in each one of these states, and it's just going to be a real Donnybrook. Let me read you a memo that I got. This is from one of the career people that handle our relations with the governors. The Labor Department abolishment, the Bureau of Employment Security and Work Training Programs, reorganization thereof, abolishing 350 positions, a serious governmental and political mistake on a free count. It violates the letter and the spirit of the President's letter of November the 11th, signed 1966, and his BOB budget circular, A85, promulgated June 28, 1967, which requires advanced consultation with the governors for changes are made in regulations and programs affecting them.
Yeah.
Two, practically all state manpower officials and their governors object. I know this from experience because the reorganization has been tried a number of times. The governor's conference has always objected and been successful in getting them rescinded. Three, if the organization goes through, it will be a pre-election gambit for the Republicans, especially those contesting for governorships. If it goes through and Republicans win, they will use it as an excuse for a complete reorganization shakeup of the Labor Department. And the Democrats and the Democratic Party, Labor's friends, will be the ultimate losers. I think it should be rescinded by the President on the grounds that there has not been the required advance consultation with governors as contemplated in the letter and circular mentioned above. The following states protested personally to us today: New York, Colorado, Missouri, West Virginia, Utah, North Carolina, Texas, Arizona. And other governors have done so at various times through the years. Signed, Hugh Gallagher. Now, I don't know who Hugh Gallagher is, but I called to find out, and they said he's been there 20 years in dealing with these things. Now, what I thought I would do, because it's not going to bother me, I'm not going to run for anything or ever be voted on for anything. I'm just going to fish and try to be good boy and retire, but I don't want it to hurt Hubert, and I think anything that shows an instability or a fight or... There's going to be a general exodus. They'll be leaving by regiments after November if Nixon is elected. But we don't want them doing it during our period if we can avoid it. And I overlooked his insubordination on the bombing thing. He came in wanting to talk to me about it and said he violently disagreed with Rusk. And I said, but I saw your statement yesterday where you said you agreed with Rusk, so therefore I have nothing to discuss with you. And this was a month ago, and I said, yes, that's right, Bill. And he said, all right. He went on out to California and went up making speeches. Hello.
Yeah.
Making speeches on the bombing halt, and nobody paid any attention to him. And he came back, so he called in all the press and said, why didn't you report my speech in California showing I'm opposed to the president? So then they wrote a big article, the Post, New York Times, and all of them, saying the Secretary of Labor defies the president.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was worth it because I thought it would look like we're in a fight with Secretary of Labor. And Hubert had a problem. He'd been overworking with him, and they'd had some upsets. Wirtz didn't like what's happening there, and so they came and talked to me about it. Wirtz told me about it first, and then Hubert to people. So I just overlooked it. I talked to Rusk and Clark Clifford, and I said, now, he's not in the bombing department. He's not an expert there, and I wouldn't want y'all telling him how to handle labor affairs, Secretary of State. And I don't expect Secretary of Labor to tell you how to handle diplomatic affairs, but I'm going to let him go with y'all just stay with me. So they said, okay, they didn't think it's very proper, but they didn't care. Now, this has come up today, so here's what I propose to do, unless you've got some suggestion you want to make. I thought I would write him a note and say, here's a suggestion I've got from the Office of Emergency Preparedness that handles the liaison with all the governors and the governor's council. And there are 10 of them that have voiced protest today, and they've been unanimous in the past, and this is a time them that something that concerns them, and I want to call attention to my letter of 66, the budget order of 67, and ask you to defer implementation of this until you can have consultation as the order provides, which might cause him then to take it and consult with them. If he could sell them, he could at least explain to them why he did it and let them know I wasn't a liar, and might get us by to November the 4th. On the other hand, take a chance doing it, he may resign and blow open, and if he does, I want to be in a position to act and act promptly. I told them all I was ready to take any of them's resignation, and I thought I'd better talk to you on that. I don't think Jim Reynolds, who has been very strong for the reorganization, would want to carry out the order if Wirtz resigned. I think he'd probably want to resign too, and maybe Ruttenberg would. And if they did, of course, I think it would be very bad on Hubert, but it wouldn't bother me.
That would be very bad at this moment.
But in the event that happened, that we didn't have them, they say Esther's job's been abolished over there. I didn't know it, but that's what the memo showed. They may have exempted, I don't know, but there was a story that they had taken, given her a lot of hell, and I don't know whether what she's doing about it, but they say Donahue and George Weaver and Esther would not resign. Now the question would be, what would labor think would be fair to do during this 2 months? I can think of a half a dozen people that have no particular labor background that would be a good administrators and deserve a promotion from other departments. I could take them from defense, or I could take them from
If he were to resign, would you have to fill his spot the next day or right away?
Yes, I ought to do it at the same time, so it doesn't look like that you're struggling and weak. It's just like if Walter Reuther walks out on you, you've got to act and tell him to hell with it. Get on out. I have endured more than any person would be under this situation, you know. The other thing, and I just think it's awful that any cabinet officer would have the president's wishes and then wouldn't even tell him. So I have to name somebody, and I'd have to name somebody that would, I don't want to name anybody that wouldn't be regarded as fair to y'all. And I wouldn't want to be calling you and trying to locate you if it happened. I'm going to try the other.
I think that's best.
I think we owe that to Hubert.
We ought to hold the thing up until he could talk to these people if we get us by the next 2 weeks. I'll be right here and...
What I want you to do, though, I want you to think right now who you think was people we might consider.
I don't know. I haven't given any thought to this thing.
I have neither.
Thing comes out of the blue.
Just hit me hard, but this fella's a pretty impulsive fella, George. You know, I told you once before we might be confronted with a resignation any day. Don't you remember that?
He's been in disagreement on Vietnam, and it's been grinding at him, I guess, for some time.
Yes, but I have endured that. I don't believe many presidents would have a cabinet officer going around speaking that way, do you? You know, Truman said when he fired MacArthur, he said any one of a million men could be president. But he said, I am the president, and I'm going to pass this office over to my successor without the duties impaired. And that's what I would like to do. But I think we owe it to Hubert and to folks not to have any more fight.
When will you know whether...
You can't tell. You don't know about this man. I don't know what he'll do. People I was thinking...